Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Guys, we do have a working relationship with our brother channel, I'll call it SEC Unfiltered. And one key aspect of the SEC is that they have prevented people who entered this portal window from transferring from an SEC team to another SEC team. Okay, you can only do that during the winter portal window. At this point, they don't want people, hey, you've went through spring, you know what's coming in the 2024, you know the inner workings of the team. They just said, hey, it's best for everybody if we cut that out. So the SEC, Brent in particular, is going to be looking for those players that have excelled at either other conferences or either lower levels of competition to come in and fill voids for them. Who do you expect to be some of the biggest movers in the SEC? And after Brennan, after you give some of yours, Dave, I'd love for you to jump in there as well. But Brennan, who are some of the biggest, I guess, either prospects or the teams that you expect to be most active SEC-wise?
Yeah, SEC-wise, I mean, looking at teams that have a first-year head coach, talking about Alabama with Kalen DeBoer. I know that roster is not complete yet. Texas A&M with Mike Elko, that roster is not complete yet. We've seen Jeff Lebby go and get Amos from Miami of Ohio, that running back. So I know his roster is not complete yet. So those are Ole Miss as well. You can never count out Lane Kiffin in the portal. Tennessee is another team. I know they're going to be in the market for running backs. They got Sampson, Dylan Sampson there. But I believe they lost two of their top guys from a year ago, so they get Sampson back, but I know they want to add another one. So those are some of the teams I'm intrigued by. I'm curious to see what Georgia does. I know interior D-line might not be exactly up to their standards. Same thing with defensive backfield. Auburn, I'm curious to see if they go after a quarterback or not. I know Peyton Thorne's right now the top guy there right now. Curious to see what they do there. But, yeah, those are – and then LSU is probably my last one here. Defense was awful last year. That's no secret. So I think they need a little bit more defensive line depth, just some added personnel overall defensively. I know we touched on that a lot on this channel, but overall just more defensive personnel, depth pieces along that D-line is important for LSU here.
Dave, before we jump in, I did want to say he mentioned Alabama, he mentioned Kalen DeBoer. Is it fair to say that maybe the attrition to Alabama is not done yet before the replacing players comes into play? They may get a little deeper into this portal window because they still have to assess, hey, who did we like and who fit into, you know, who bought into what we were preaching as we went into that spring game. And they may have some tape to review and say, hey, do we really want this guy to be a part of the program?
Yeah, you could say that about a lot of, like, Brennan was saying about a couple in the new staff, Mississippi State, Alabama, some guys that aren't as, like you said, familiar with the roster, have only been around since January. Really fill that out. I think from Alabama, I'd expect them to probably add another receiver. I think a lot of teams in the league may try to add. I mean, I don't think any position has better leverage right now than a receiver. Maybe not in the portal. Because like so many teams are looking for either a number one, a number two, or a number three. Just like all the way down, people are kind of looking for like, hey, we can use a third guy, maybe a red zone threat kind of guy. Like, I don't think Alabama has that. I think the Bernard kid could be fine, especially. I think they'll add another one because Jalen Hell probably being out for majority of the year, it sounded like, from the interview on the sideline on Saturday. Brennan mentioned Ole Miss. I could see that. I think they'll be in the running back market. Would not shock me there. Who else? LSU, he mentioned defensive tackle. I also could see them being in Corey Raymond and them getting on Kermani McClain, the kid at the corner that just left Colorado. I could see them getting on him a little bit. I could see Alabama going back to Alabama a little bit, them in the secondary, just because they looked really – I mean, they had Zion Brown playing a little bit in the Demonte Jackson kid. They just looked just physically undeveloped, a couple of those kids. They're not talented, twitchy, athletic guys. You can tell.
A lot of freshmen. I mean, a lot of young guys.
Like, maybe they add another type, Jalen Key kid from UAB that they brought on last year. It's like not some great kid, but a depth veteran guy. Because they just look really young back there. I can see that being an issue for them. Who up to Arkansas, I think, is being held hostage. We'll see how they are, talking about maybe how some kids leave them potentially from talking to some people. Who else are we talking about? Tennessee. I thought about Tennessee here and maybe Missouri. I'm throwing this category. Call me crazy. I think their starting quarterbacks are set. I think it's Brady Cook and obviously Nico. But after that, I brought it up early. Who are their guys? If Nico or hopefully Brady, God forbid none of these kids get hurt, but if something does happen and they're rolling into a game where they got to win, they could finish 10-2 to go make the playoffs, get one of those 12 spots in the playoffs. They may need a service. I mean, Tennessee, I'm looking at the depth chart right now, had the Gaston Moore kid who was a walk-on for us when I was at UCF as their backup quarterback right now, outside of the kid. I forget the kid they signed from Savannah, the Metalburger.
Merklinger.
Josh Merklinger, outside of him. So you're banking on a true freshman being your backup quarterback, which happens in today's game. But still, a team like Tennessee, it's legitimately, I think, in a 12-team playoff hunt. It's a little concerning if he were down. Same with Eli Drinkwitz in the Brady Cook situation. And then outside of that, I mean, I think Florida could be looking for maybe a home run hitter maybe in their backfield after Etienne leaving. I like kind of the backs a little bit, but I don't really think they have a home run threat. So I think, go back to Brennan being that there's a lot of running backs, I think they could be in that market as well. But outside of that, I mean, I think Brennan hit on the rest of it. Really, I mean, Brian Kelly came out and said, we're really just going to be honing in on interior defensive tackles. But I could see them also fixing some holes on the back end as well.
Mike, Dave mentioned that wide receiver may be the position that has the most leverage at this point in time. So that would stand to reason that Keiondre Lambert-Smith would find himself in a very desirable position, especially with SEC teams like Texas A&M, Auburn, and Georgia all having expressed interest in the leading pass catcher for the Nittany Lions a year ago.
Yeah, he's one I was actually surprised. I had him on my All Big Ten list. He certainly was going to go into the year as Penn State's number one guy. And he had a little bit of chemistry with Drew Allar. And I know there was a video out there that was circulating showing all of these bad passes that Drew Allar threw. He also threw some good ones. But not having a veteran like that really hurts their passing attack. And for him, it's good because he can go to a team that maybe can maximize his potential a little bit more, because Penn State's still going to lean on Catron Allen and Nick Singleton and their tight ends. They incorporate the receivers, but they're not in Ohio State. They're not in Alabama. They're not these teams that like to throw all over the place. So he is going to probably going to end up in a position that is more advantageous for him, certainly. And a couple of other guys that I like. One guy just got in around the same time as Fitzgerald. Sam Brown Jr. from Houston got in. And he's a guy that could really be like a kind of like a slot guy, a number three guy. He's a reliable guy. And I also like Justice Ross Simmons from Colorado State. They have Torrey Horton, who is a big-time player. But Justice Ross Simmons is starting to come up, and I think he was going to be able to get that kind of play. He apparently wants it now, so he's jettisoning Colorado State and is looking for greener pastures. But you're right. Receiver and edge and running back certainly seem to be where all the leverage is right now in the first day of the portal.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about the SEC and we touched on some of those. I do want to highlight just a couple of more moves before I get to Donovan, who's going to talk to some Big Ten for us. And Mike, you'll add some Big Ten insight in there as well. But did want to mention, okay, when you've got Elijah Herring, people are mixed reviews. Elijah Herring, the leading tackler for Tennessee, goes into the transfer portal. A lot of people are saying, well, maybe he was a step slow in pass coverage. He's a tweener. Maybe he should have been playing up front, all this kind of stuff. Whatever the case, and I know they've got plenty of guys, Keenan Peely coming back from injury. Of course, you have Jeremiah Tealander, who's from my hometown here in Gainesville, Georgia, that he is playing very well for them and had a great spring. And they've got Aaron Carter there and some other guys. However, I think that just listen, there was a reason, even if it was due to some injuries or something like that, there's a reason a guy has almost 90 tackles in a year for you. He's playing some good football. I wonder if one of these, because of that rule in the SEC or not being able to go SEC to SEC, I wonder, Donovan, if some premier teams in the Big Ten, Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan may take advantage of a guy like that. And then also, when it comes down to it with Ohio State and with Michigan, maybe what are some of those biggest needs? Because right now it looks like when it comes to that 12-team playoff race, the Ohio States and then the Oregons in the Big Ten are right there in the driver's seat to try to get those spots, but they may need to fill a couple little pieces here or there.
Yeah, I think you could absolutely see some of those top Big Ten teams try to poach from the SEC, for lack of a better term. When it comes to some of the other teams with their needs, I think, you know, an obvious answer would be Penn State, like kind of Mike alluded to with Keandre Lambert-Smith leaving. And again, the video did circulate on there of Drew Aller not doing too well. Mike also, like, you know, rightfully pointed out, he had some good throws. But, you know, if you're trying to get a quarterback like that to progress early, you want all the weapons around him that you can get. And I loved watching Julian Fleming at Ohio State. I don't really.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Feel that he's a number one wide receiver for Penn State. Don't know if you can find a true number one in the portal right now, but more talent around him, the better to help him progress faster. I think another obvious answer for Ohio State is to dip into the offensive line market a little bit. I mean, I joked about this, I think a couple years on a different show that me, Blaine, you and myself and Josh were doing. And I said, just, you know, when the NIL really starts to go forward, just wait for Ohio State to hit it, because they're going to be, you know, they'll be the Death Star when they finally turn it all on. And you kind of saw it a little bit this offseason, I think. And so I don't think they're afraid now to go dip in the portal and watch a spring game. Mike, you can tell me if you disagree. Some other piece of the offensive line looked great. I thought the left side of the line looked really good. I thought McLaughlin looked good at times at center. But that right side, when it was Montgomery at right guard, it was Fryer at right tackle, it was Tegra at right guard, you know, Carson Heinzman at right guard, they struggled pretty heavily. And so I'm looking at a guy maybe from Colorado, and I hate even throwing out Colorado offensive line names to address a struggling right side, but Savion Washington, who has a lot of career starts under his belt at right tackle. I think Michigan could dip into the offensive line pool a little bit too. They're losing essentially all five starters. I believe they're six men as well. A sneak team that I'm really looking at to add some offensive skill to try to take that next jump could be Iowa going forward. I know that's not typical of what they did. You know, they added Caden Proctor, but then he's gone. And they've shown to add a little bit of talent in the market as it comes through. But for a team that wants to make the next jump, that says, okay, we've got, you know, not a top end quarterback, but certainly a really good game manager proven. We've got, you know, Luke Lachey as a weapon. We've got an offensive line getting better. We've got a decent running back room. You know, we don't really have any receivers. And so look, I think, for Iowa to make a bit of a splash, nothing crazy, because I don't think you're going to get a lot of receivers leaving to go to Iowa. But I think look for them as a team that's going, we can absolutely make this 12-team playoff if we get 10, 11 wins like Iowa is accustomed to doing.
That schedule is so conducive, too, for Iowa to have success this year. I mean, to me, you look at a guy, you talk about being able to poach from, you know, a guy can't go from SEC to SEC. Look at a guy like a Raymond Cottrell, who wouldn't be a star at any team in the SEC this year, but he could go to Iowa and he could be absolutely a player. I'm just telling you, he could be a player in that offense. So that would be something. Mike, do you think Michigan is totally – happy with saying, okay, we're going to roll with a combination of Orji and Davis at quarterback? Or do you think possibly if a quarterback were to somehow back channel that they would be interested, whether through tampering or just to come out and enter the portal? Do you think Michigan would dabble into that, into the quarterback?
I think they definitely would. I mean, we'll see on Saturday when Fox televises their spring game. Alex Orji is a little bit more of a throwback, like to a the running quarterbacks that they had,
Denard Robinson
and some of the other guys. But Jack Tuttle is a guy who can throw the ball. They don't really have anyone. And then they have like a young kid coming in who hasn't really played, Jaden Davis, I think. So if you can get an experienced guy who can throw and maybe put a little bit of pressure on someone with their legs, then I'm sure that they would look at that. They've said they definitely want another offensive line piece. They've got Miles Hinton out on the left side, but he's really the only guy with any playing time. They got Northwestern. They got Josh Priebe to play guard from Northwestern, but that other tackle spot is a real question, and there are some tackles out there to be had. Going back to what Donovan said about Ohio State, Texas, Peyton Kirkland entered the portal. He had Ohio State interest. They were like maybe second or third for him when he was being recruited. So I wouldn't be shocked if Ohio State kicks the tires on him. Isaiah Chadha and Savion Washington from Colorado, both are guys that Ohio State could look at as well, because they can be swing guys, tackle or guard. So there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff done with Michigan and Ohio State and a few other Big Ten teams.
Kirkland, he's got that wide load sign on his rear end. Okay, he's gonna be interior guy. He's not gonna be out there.
365 or something like that. It takes about a month to get around him.
He's that guy that you got to call duo or call inside zone and just tell him to go lean on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Yep.
It wouldn't shock me if he went somewhere back closer to home. We recruited him when I was at UCF, and he was from Orlando.
The Gus Bus, baby. Dr.
Phillips kid. I could see that. It wouldn't shock me if, like you were saying, Mike, somebody goes back and kicks the tire on it. I think he's pretty close with his mom.
Brennan, we'll end with this. We're going to wrap it up here shortly, but we talked about, okay, maybe Michigan looks for a quarterback. Georgia, actually, if they're with Ryan Puglisi being hurt, who is their third-string quarterback, they have two scholarship quarterbacks right now, Kirby Smart that are healthy, with Puglisi being the third. Kirby Smart has a hard and fast rule, and he vowed after the 2019 season, when he only had Jake Fromm and Stetson Bennett on the roster after Justin Fields bolted for Ohio State, he vowed he would never have less than four scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. They could be looking for somebody if the right guy enters into the portal. But I wanted to ask you, just as a whole, assess the quarterbacks that are currently in. And I know in particular you have a guy that you think could – be a good prospect coming out of Miami.
Yeah, Ja'Quarri Brown is guy from Miami on the young side. Didn't play a ton at Miami. Obviously, was never really the starter there because they had Van Dyke. And obviously, now they have Cam Ward coming in, who's going to be the starter. But, I mean, the guy's 6'4". He's a solid prospect. I believe he's around 220 pounds. So he's a big body. He's a dual threat guy. So he's intriguing to me. I know Auburn could be looking for a quarterback, like I mentioned earlier, maybe even just a backup Thorne, because I know in the spring game I wasn't too impressed with the guys that Auburn had behind Thorne, and he's not an SEC guy, so maybe Georgia could dip in here if Kirby wants to. I mean, some other teams possibly to watch for a guy like Ja'Quarri Brown, Michigan possibly, but I know they got their own dual threat guy, and Orji kind of plays a similar style, so UCLA maybe as well. But Ja'Quarri Brown is probably, when you consider the years of eligibility remaining and kind of his projection, I think Ja'Quarri Brown is probably one of the better guys currently in the portal. Other names, Timmy McClain's a guy who has experience. He played at South Florida, played at UCF. He's got decent enough experience, also a dual threat guy. He could possibly go to Auburn. I think he'd be more of a backup to Thorne. I don't think he'd really challenge for that starting spot. But McClain, Jacoby Criswell is intriguing as well from Arkansas. Doesn't look like he's going to win that starting job there. Obviously, that's why he entered, because Taylen Green really showed out in that Arkansas spring game. So Criswell, obviously he can't go to an SEC school. So no Auburn, no Georgia for him. Curious to see where he ends up as well. So overall, it's obviously not as good of a quarterback haul or quarterback transfer portal class, whatever you want to call it, as we had in December and January, but there's some guys that that could be intriguing to see where they end up. And I think the most notable of these is Ja'Kari Brown.
Here's a little note on Ja'Kari Brown, and don't be shocked when I say this. Remember all the time I say they play good football in the Sun Belt, okay? I'm telling you, they play good football in the Sun Belt, and there is a new head coach at a certain Sun Belt program named Del McGee, who has great, great connections inside the state of Georgia. Where's Ja'Kari Brown from? He played at Lowndes High School down there around Valdosta. And when it comes down to it, I think there's already a little bit of a push there. So Georgia State could be getting a guy like Ja'Kari Brown as well. So that would be a huge get for a Georgia State team that is looking to carry on some momentum and that Del McGee's bringing in. Del McGee, underrated hire, I think, by Georgia State. A guy with deep connections. He waited his turn. But it's going to be interesting to see there as these Sun Belt teams try to compete in this environment.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.